Well, as we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven, there's lots and lots of great theological points that we can make about this mystery. But there's also a very simple one as well. That is, every good thing has to come to an end. You can think about that. You know, whether it's a good meal or your favorite vacation or, a relationship or a marriage or even a life. Every good thing, except for God, has to come to an end. And that's what, of course, the first disciples of Jesus experienced at his ascension. They had a very good thing. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, clearly God incarnate, glorified now in their midst for 40 days, teaching them, instructing them, inspiring them. And yet, that too had to come to an end. And so you can probably understand why the angels found him there standing, like looking up into the sky, like, what just happened? You know, when are you coming back, Jesus? But there's another, of course, message, another point to the ascension, and that is that even though every good thing has to come to an end, God always has something else that he wants to bring into our lives, something better. And so Jesus tells his apostles while he's still with them, it is for your advantage that I go away so that the Holy Spirit may come. So yes, they did have to lose Jesus Christ walking, talking in the flesh, God incarnate with them in that sense. But now the very Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in their hearts because of Pentecost, the great feast that we'll celebrate next Sunday. And so they were able to have the power to go out and to change the world. So God gave them something better, even though the great good of Jesus being with them at his resurrection had to come to an end. And so we can, of course, find an application in our lives. I'm sure many of you can think of times in your life where something that was good came to an end. And maybe you thought, I don't know how it's going to go now. Maybe you lost a job or something else like that. But then God brought something new into your life. And you understood what God wanted to do. I can share a story from my life. You know, my first assignment was Mary, Queen of Heaven, where I was parochial vicar for all of 1 year. And I didn't quite expect it to end that quick. You know, I've just kind of started to learn people's names. And then the bishop said, I'm transferring you to Immaculate Heart of Mary, make you the pastor. So, I mean, in one sense, it was sad to see that come to an end. I certainly enjoyed being a parochial vicar much more than being a pastor because it has a lot less responsibility. But in another way, of course, it was a much greater thing to come here to be pastor for Immaculate Heart of Mary because this was God's will. This is the next step in whatever my vocation is and what God needs to do in my life to get me to heaven someday. And so in that sense, it is a better thing. Or, I've just been reading the book, not quite done with it yet, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. I think a lot of people have probably read that book. Very interesting about this Dutch family who was hiding Jews during the Second World War and the consequences of all of that. One of the interesting points that she makes in the beginning of that book is how her mother unexpectedly suddenly got very ill and was paralyzed for several years before her death. She could barely talk, only say a couple of words, only move a little bit. And she watched how her mother dealt with that. And the point that she makes is that, of course, it's a terrible thing for the life of your mother and the health of your mother to come to an end. Today we remember our mothers, all that they do in our lives, how attached we are to them, how dependent we are on our mothers always. And yet our mothers too, their lives, their place in our lives has to someday come to an end. But by watching her mother, what Corrie Ten Boom says is she was prepared for something that she never even knew was coming. These years that she would have to spend hiding Jews and then eventually in German prison and concentration camp. And she learned from the way that her mother faced that paralysis and that death. So God had something in store for her that could only be given to her if her mother, if she allowed her mother to be taken from her in that way. So, whenever we experience in our lives those times of something good coming to an end, those difficulties, the loss of people that we love, of things that we want or need, we can always keep that principle in mind, the principle of the ascension of Jesus into heaven, that God is never going to let anything good in our lives come to an end without having something even better. It may not always be what we want or enjoy more, but it will be better for us, this other thing that he has in mind. I'll tell you one last point, because of course we need to tie this into the follow-up capital campaign appeal here. How many of you know the name of John Weghorn? He was an important figure in our parish. Raise your hand if you know John Weghorn. A few of you do. I mean, it's not your fault if you don't know old John. We should talk about him more probably. But the truth is, none of us would be here today if it wasn't for John Weghorn. John Weghorn was a farmer who had a farm out on Limenburg Road. And he was the one who, of course, donated his farm to become the original Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. So we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for John. But the interesting part about John's story is that one day he was out in his farm and he heard a noise in his cornfield, went into his cornfield, and had an apparition of the Blessed Mother, who said to him, "I want you to give your farm to the diocese, build a parish here, and name it Immaculate Heart of Mary." Now, John's farm was a good thing. He probably had plans for it, maybe people that he wanted to leave it to. But instead, he let it come to an end. He gave it to the bishop, to the diocese, so that Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish could be born, and we could all be here. And so that was a much greater thing that God allowed to happen because John Weghorn was willing to let his farm come to an end. He made that kind of a sacrificial sacrifice, that's kind of an offering. And that, in a sense, is what our capital campaign is about as well. Can I make a sacrificial gift to my parish in order to let God do even something better that we may not even expect? We'd like to challenge you, again, for those of you who maybe weren't here last week or didn't feel quite ready to pledge last week, to think about, we don't know what you can give, and we're very grateful for whatever that may be, a one-time pledge, a five-year commitment. Obviously, we'd rather have the five-year commitment, but you know what you can afford. But we'd like to throw down the challenge of $20 a week. That's $84 a month, a total gift of $5,000 over the course of those 5 years. And again, you may think, I can definitely do that. I can do more than that. You may think that's way too much. That's entirely up to you. But you know, if you're willing to make that kind of a sacrifice, I mean, $20 a week, that's like, you know, giving up Starbucks coffee once a week, or giving out eating out once a week, or if you're a bigger family, once a month, you know. That may seem like a difficult thing to do, a difficult sacrifice to make. I depend on that cup of coffee. I depend on that eating out once a week. But the truth is, you know, one day when you're here for the funeral of your spouse or your parents in the middle of July and the air conditioning is working, you'll think, you know what? It was worth it to make that sacrifice. Or, you know, when you hear that some mentally disturbed person tried to gain access to the school, but because of our new security system was not able to do it, you'll think as a parent, it was worth it to invest that money in our parish so that we can protect our children. So that's what we're asking you to consider. So at this time, if you have not yet made your pledge to the capital campaign, I ask you to go ahead and get one of these commitment cards at the ends of the pews. And you'll see in there, on the right-hand side, the different levels of gifts that you can give. So I'd ask that you go ahead and fill out the check, whichever one is the right range for you. And if you don't have to do this since you did it last week, but if you want to, if you already gave last week and you want to fill out the amen section there because you gave last week, then go right ahead. And again, if you're not able to pledge at this time, but you're willing to keep the campaign in your prayers, then please check the box that says that you'll do that as well. Then go ahead and sign your name, print the rest of your information. I'll say the campaign is going incredibly well, and we're going to be able to tell you how well we have done by Monday morning. I'm sure we'll get something out to the whole parish. We're very grateful. As far as how you are going to fulfill your pledges, we will again be sending out information very shortly about that, but we will have by next week set up an opportunity to give online, and we will by, I think, next month have envelopes in your monthly envelopes that will be specifically for the capital campaign. But more information will be coming down the pike for how you can give your pledge. So this time I'm going to ask our ushers or those who are for the collection to go ahead and come forward and collect the commitment cards. And again, our deep gratitude to all of you for your support, your sacrifice for this parish. People like John Waghorn are the ones who started it, but it's people like yourselves who keep it running still today. So thank you for your generosity, and let us always remember that God never allows any good thing in our lives to come to an end without providing something even greater. Praise be to Him.